Hello and welcome to the Student Ministry Podcast of Cedar Crest Bible Fellowship Church. I am Pastor Jules, and I'm excited that you have decided to join us here. The teaching or conversation you are about to hear is from our youth group ministry. I hope that you will find it encouraging. If you have any questions or would like to contact us, please visit our website at cedarcrest.church/students.
Does anyone remember what we just celebrated on Tuesday?
Valentine's Day.
That's right. We celebrated Valentine's Day. It's a very nice holiday, right? It's all about what?
Love.
It's all about love. We are obsessed with the concept of love. Let there be light. As a culture. From romantic movies to popular songs to cheap paperback novels, romance is a primary theme in both our entertainment and our day-to-day conversation. But despite our obsession with love, the problem is that many of us don't understand what it means to truly love. If we are really honest with ourselves, deep down in our inner thoughts of what love is, it's really all about us. We have made love into something that is narcissistic, something that is self-focused, something that we use to manipulate people. We love those who will love us in return. Or we love those who we think we can get something out of. We see others merely as a means of self-gratification. And if someone doesn't meet those needs, we move on from them. We don't give them the time of day. And that's because naturally we are takers and not givers. And I hope the question that you're kind of thinking through in your mind right now is, how do we love? What does it mean to truly love someone? Now, I'm talking about something that is far deeper than romantic love, something that is deeper than a husband and a wife. In fact, in the Greek language, there's multiple words for love. And the word for love that we're talking about tonight is called agape love. Agape love. It is biblical love. It is the love that we see from Jesus. A love that is not self-seeking, but it's self-sacrificing. Instead of tearing others down, biblical love seeks to build them up. Instead of first pursuing its own good, this type of love pursues the good and interests of other people. Instead of seeking to have its needs met, this type of love meets the needs of another. This is the love that we see from our Lord and Savior Jesus. And this is the type of love that we are called as Christians to show to one another. Tonight, I want to look at a story that I'm sure you're all very familiar with. And it's the story of Jesus washing his disciples' feet. You can find it in John chapter 13. So I ask you to go ahead and turn there. John 13, we're going to be looking at verses 1 through 17. But before we read that, let me just pray for us. Father, I pray as we get into your word now that your spirit would illuminate the scriptures. Father, I pray that you would give us understanding of what this type of love is, what agape love is. Father, help us to see the love that you have shown to us through your Son. Help us to see the love that Jesus Christ showed to his disciples and still shows to us today. And Father, help us to show that love, to give that type of love to those around us. And Father, we pray this in your Son's name. Amen. Let's go ahead and stand for the reading of the Word. John 13, 1 through 17 says this. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. During supper, when the devil had already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going back to God, rose from supper. He laid aside his outer garments, and taking a towel, he tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, do you wash my feet?" Jesus answered him, "What I am doing you do not understand now, but afterwards you will understand." Peter said to him, "You shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "If I do not wash you, you have no share with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "The one who has bathed does not need to wash except for his feet, but is completely clean, and you are clean, but not every one of you." For he knew who was to betray him. That was why he said, "Not all of you are clean." When he had washed their feet and put on his outer garment and resumed his place, he said to them, "Do you understand what I have done for you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you also should do, just as I have done to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them." The word of the Lord. You may be seated. So from this passage, what I want you guys to see is that Jesus' love humbles us, cleanses us, and motivates us to love others. Jesus is towards the end of his earthly ministry at this point. We see that in verse 1. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, over and over again through the book of John, we've heard about this hour, right? His hour had not yet come. And the Pharisees who wanted to arrest him weren't able to because his hour had not yet come. But now we are here. Now his hour has come. He is just hours away from the cross, and he knows it. He's hours away from being betrayed, from being beaten, from being put on a cross. He knew the cross was soon, and he knew that it was soon time for him to depart this world and leave his disciples. And this is why John adds, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. Now, don't pass over this statement. Here's Jesus, knowing that he's about to be handed over, knowing he's about to be beaten, knowing he's about to be hung on the cross. But the worst part of it is that he knows that he's about to face the wrath of God for the sins of the world, including the sins of these men who are around this table with him. J.C. Ryle said he knew perfectly that they were going to forsake him and act like cowards, but that did not prevent him from loving them with all their weakness to the very end. Now, the Greek word for end here is interesting. This Greek word is telos, T-E-L-O-S. And what it's talking about is not the end of his earthly ministry. Rather, it's talking about the measurement of his love towards the disciples. He loved them to the end, meaning he loved them perfectly, completely, fully. John is not saying that Jesus loved them till he died. Of course not, because he's still loving them even now. Rather, John is speaking of the measurement of his love. Jesus never ceased loving these men, and he will never cease from loving you. And that's true of every single Christian. Anyone who truly knows the Lord as their Savior, he loves you, and he will never stop loving you. In fact, his very heart is bent towards you. This is the whole purpose of why he came. J.C. Ryle said, "The love of Christ to Christians who really believe in him is a great depth. It surpasses all understanding. It is something that our poor, corrupt nature cannot fully comprehend or measure." How amazing is our Savior's love? Now, there's some of you wondering, is that true? Will Jesus really never stop loving me? Well, that's what this passage is teaching us. He never ceased to love them. He fully and completely loves you. Now, of course, not all of his disciples were true believers. As John tells us in verse 2, the devil had already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Now, Judas was one of his disciples who walked with Jesus, heard him teach, saw firsthand his miracles, and yet he did not put his faith and trust in Christ alone. Judas is a great warning to all of us. A warning that you can profess Christ with your lips, but your heart be far from him. And let's be clear. Judas did not fall away from his faith. He never had faith in the first place. And let's also be clear that this passage is not teaching us that the devil forced Judas to sin and betray Jesus. Rather, Satan's will and Judas's will aligned. And when Satan dangled this temptation to betray Jesus, Judas gladly took it. But let Judas be cause for us to examine our own hearts and discern if we are truly saved, if we have truly placed our faith and trust in Christ alone for the forgiveness of our sins and eternal life. And if you've never done that, Jesus is inviting you today to repent of your sins and place your faith and trust in him. He is willing to forgive you, to love you. That is never ceasing. But these are the men who are present at this dinner. And how does Jesus demonstrate his love for these men? He washes their feet. Verses 3 to 5, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God and was going back from God to God, rose from supper. He laid aside his outer garment and taking a towel, he tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin, began to wash his disciples' feet and wipe them clean, wipe them with a towel that was wrapped around him. Now, for us to fully understand what Jesus is doing here, we need to have a little bit of a history lesson. At this time, people did not sit on chairs around a kitchen table to eat. Rather, the table was more of a flat on the ground or a towel or a blanket of some sort, and men would lay down, typically propped up on a pillow or something of that sort, and their feet would go towards the person next to them. So you can imagine it not being very appetizing to have feet towards your face as you're eating. But that's how they ate. Now, we also need to remember at this time, they did not have closed-toed shoes. And they did not have paved streets. Some of them were paved, but most of them were still dirt. Rather, they had sandals and roads that were just dirt, and so their feet would get really dirty. So back at this time, they would have slaves who were dedicated to wash people's feet, wash the guests' feet. This was something that was reserved for the lowest of slaves, typically Gentile slaves, because they didn't even view Jewish slaves as not worthy enough to wash their feet, but they felt like the Jews were too worthy to wash their feet. Does that make sense? Okay, I hope you understand what I'm trying to say. Gentile slaves would typically do this. However, at this dinner, there was no slave to wash their feet. And none of the disciples were jumping up and volunteering to wash their feet because, again, that was something of disgrace. That was something that was only reserved for Gentile slaves. And so they simply just tried to ignore it. Until their rabbi, Jesus, got up, took his outer garment off, took a towel and tied it around his waist, poured water in a basin, got down on his hands and his knees, and began to wash his disciples' feet. All of the disciples, including Judas, he washed their feet. Jesus, picture this, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, down on his hands and his knees, washing dirty feet. Could you ever picture Biden, President Biden, doing that? Could you ever picture the King of England doing that? No, because it would never happen. But that's what our King, the King of Kings, did. John MacArthur said, Christ exhibited humble love throughout his entire earthly ministry, and that love is notably exemplified here by washing their feet. And this is what real love is. Love that is seeking the betterment of others. Love that is not expecting something in return. Remember, he washed Judas's feet, the man that he knew was about to betray him. Love that is humble. Love that is putting others before yourself. Love that is self-sacrificing. That is how Jesus loves. And this love should humble us. It should cause us to be in awe of our Savior and his love for us. We then see Jesus come to the Apostle Peter. And Peter says what all the other disciples are thinking but are too scared to say. Verse 6, he came to Simon Peter, who said to him, Lord, do you wash my feet? Jesus answered him, what I am doing you do not understand now, but afterward you will understand. Peter said to him, you shall never wash my feet. See, the disciples didn't get it. They could not believe what they were seeing. For a superior to wash the feet of an inferior was unheard of. It was culturally unacceptable. It was even shameful. But that's what Jesus did to serve his disciples. Jesus responds by saying, what I am doing you do not understand, but afterwards you will understand. That is, after Christ's death and resurrection, Peter and the other disciples will understand what Jesus did for them here. Then they will finally realize that the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. But at this point, Peter doesn't understand. And so he tells Jesus, you shall never wash my feet. See, Peter was ashamed. Peter was embarrassed. Peter wanted to hide his dirtiness from Christ. And we sometimes try to do that. We sometimes try to make ourselves look really good and give Jesus the best, cleanest version of ourselves. But Jesus wants all of us. Jesus cares about every aspect of your life, especially the dirtiest parts of you. There's a great book that was written a few years ago called Gentle and Lowly by Dane Ortlund. And in the book, he says this, we all tend to have some small pocket of our life where we have difficulty believing the forgiveness of God reaches. We say we are totally forgiven and we sincerely believe our sins are forgiven, pretty much anyway. But there's that one deep, dark part of our lives, even our present lives, that seems so inattractable, so ugly, so beyond recovery. But Jesus loves us to the utmost, which means God's forgiving, redeeming, restoring touch reaches down into the darkest crevices of our souls. There's those places where we are most ashamed and most defeated. More than this, those crevices of sin are themselves the places where Christ loves us the most. His heart willingly goes there. His heart is most strongly drawn there. He knows us to the utmost, and he saves us to the utmost because his heart is drawn out to us to the utmost. We cannot sin our way out of his tender love and care. How amazing is our Savior's love for us. So don't try to keep some part of your life from Jesus. Stop thinking that there's an area of your life that is too dirty for him to touch. But bring it to him. Lay it down and trust him. He's willing to clean even that dark spot of your life. Peter responds to Jesus' loving service by inviting him to clean, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Verse 10, Jesus says to him, "The one who has bathed does not need to be washed except for his feet, but is completely clean, and you are clean." I believe what Jesus is saying there is that those who are truly his disciples, that is, those who have truly placed their faith and trust in Christ alone, have been cleaned, meaning they have already received salvation. The washing of their feet then represents the sanctification process, which is a big fancy word meaning becoming more and more like Christ. So Jesus is cleaning the areas of our life that does not resemble Christ. Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, is cleaning us all so that we become more and more like him. Those who are saved do not need to be saved again, do not need to be cleaned again. But we all have sin in our life that needs to be dealt with, that needs to be killed, that needs to be cleaned. And yet, for some of you, the best way to respond to this message is to repent of your sin. Repent of the sin that you're holding on to and invite Jesus and the Holy Spirit to come in and clean that area of your life. And yet, for others of you, the best way to respond to this message is to surrender your life to Christ. As Jesus says, not every one of you is clean, for he knew who was to betray him, and that is why he said, not all of you are clean. And yet, he washed Judas's feet. We wrap up then with verses 12 through 17, which says, when he had washed their feet and put on his outer garment and resumed his place, he said to them, "Do you understand what I have done for you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do just as I have done to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them." the love of Jesus should motivate us to love others. Jesus says that we are right to call him teacher and Lord, but we cannot stop there. We also need to wash one another's feet. And I mean that in a metaphorical way. We need to also serve one another. Not just those who are easy to serve. Not just those who are friends. Not just those who we think we can get something out of. But even our enemies. Even those who are difficult to love. Even those who will not even thank us and maybe even spit in our face. We are called to love them as Christ has loved us. Now, there are some churches out there who believe that this is a command that we need to literally do to wash one another's feet. But I think verse 15 points out that this is an example that we should also do to one another. This is a command for us to love others as Christ has loved us. To selflessly and humbly put others before ourselves. To not be afraid or inconvenienced to get on our hands and knees in order to serve others. To even love our enemies and serve them as Christ washed his betrayer's feet. Listen to what Paul says in Philippians 2, 3 through 8. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourself. Let each of you look not only to his own interest, but also to the interest of others. Have this mind among yourself, which is yours in Christ Jesus. Now listen to this. Who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. It is because Christ became a servant that he humbly obeyed the Father's will and gladly and willingly went to the cross for you and me, for our sin. He died on the cross for us, taking on the wrath of God for us because he loves us. And of course, 3 days later, he rose from the grave, showing that he has defeated sin and death. And so we are now called as Christians to love others. It is only through the love of God that we are able to love others like Christ loves us. So are you loving like this? Do you love your parents as yourself? Do you love your siblings as yourself? Do you love your church members as yourself? Your pastors? Do you love your teachers as yourself? Do you love your classmates as yourself? Do you love your neighbors? Do you love complete strangers as yourself? Thanks for letting me tell me. Are you loving others like Christ? This is what we are called to as Christians. This is how we are commanded to love. Selflessly. Loving this way is what is going to change the world. This is the love that we need. This is the love that your parents need. This is the love that your siblings need, that your school needs, that the world needs. But we cannot love this way in our own strength. It is only through Christ who transforms our life and causes us to be able to love like this. So if you don't know Christ, then you will never love this way. But if you do know Christ, If you are one of his disciples, then this is what you are called to do and called to love like. So if you are struggling to love in this way, then I invite you to fall on your hands and knees before your Lord and Savior, the one who got down on his hands and knees and eventually got propped up on a cross. Ask him as Lord to soften your heart and look to Jesus' example of love and love others as Christ has loved you.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope that you've enjoyed this teaching. Please visit us at cedarcrest.church/students.